Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding-edge, successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's Rockstar Achiever.
Welcome to another wonderful episode of Rockstar Achievers. We have with us today Managing Director at Ellis Wealth Management, LLC, Mr. Paul Ellis. Paul Bertrand Ellis is an accomplished 25-year financial industry veteran. In addition to various investment and insurance licenses, he holds a certification as a Certified Investment Management Analyst, also known as CIMA or CIMA, through the Investments and Wealth Institute and the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. Paul is an active member of the Investments and Wealth Institute and member of the Mukilteo Chamber of Commerce. Seattle Magazine has consistently named Paul to the best wealth managers list, and he has been named among America's most honored professionals by American Registry. Welcome, Paul, to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, what a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. You know, so Paul, we met a while ago during your leadership with the Mukilteo Chamber of Commerce, which I think you're still in leadership there, aren't you?
I'm a part of the executive committee, yes.
Part of the executive, okay. And how have things been different with the chamber as we've gone through the last 7 months with this whole thing with the pandemic we've been experiencing?
Well, the chamber has done an absolutely terrific job. First of all, we have a new president or director at the Mukilteo Chamber of Commerce, Candace Barnes. And Candace has been absolutely fabulous, just absolutely terrific. So we are all thrilled with Candace. I was the president and chair last year. This year, Matt Martin, who you may know, is the president and chair. And Laylee Lewis is the vice president. I'm the immediate past president. And the rest of the board are just thrilled with what Candace has been able to do and how she's been able to engage with our members in an environment that's been pretty much locked down in the state of Washington for groups trying to get together.
Wonderful. That's good to hear that things are going well and holding strong for the chamber. I remember when we first met, you were actually speaking that day, and I was very impressed with the presentation that you offered, and not just that, but your whole presentation, your professionalism, your confidence, and that inspired me to walk up and speak with you at that time. And so with that being said, it's such an honor to have you here today, and I would like for you to share with us about what is it that you do professionally?
Well, professionally, I'm the president and managing director of Ellis Wealth Management. Ellis Wealth Management provides planning advice and coaching along with discretionary and advisory investment management for the real world. Our principal focus is helping clients go beyond the balance sheet and redefine equity and design their own legacy so that they can really invest in what they love. So we spend a lot of time focusing with clients and just making sure that they're in control, not Wall Street, not the marketing firms on Fifth Avenue, as to what is it that they want to achieve and the best ways for them to achieve what they truly desire.
Wonderful. And tell us a bit about how did you get into this industry? Why did you choose financial services?
You know, somebody once said, sometimes you don't choose a book chooses you. All right, so this has been a real long and winding road. If I may, real quickly, I graduated from the University of Washington with a degree in speech communications and military science. My desire was to fly helicopters for the Army and go Army, beat Navy, hoorah. And absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. Unfortunately, or fortunately, being a scholarship student, it was terrific. Was able to study and have school paid for. But at the end of my tenure at as a student and as an Army ROTC cadet, most get commissioned and move on. I received an honorable discharge. The Army was cutting back. There were cutbacks. And so some might say I received the Willy Wonka ticket. Thank you very much for your service. Great job. And away you go, right? Mm-hmm. For me, that was really a discombobulating experience. I had focused for 4 or 5 years on going into a profession I was thrilled to be one of the few, and to have life change up on me in that manner at that young age was a bit of a challenge. I ended up working part-time at C-First Bank. If you remember C-First, right?
I do.
It was an absolutely terrific bank, right? We have all got a switch to C-First t-shirt somewhere in our boxes, I'm sure. And so I ended up working at C-First as a part-time teller, safe deposit, went into trust, got into personal banking, was part of a personal banking pilot group that was kind of a division of private banking, did very, very well, was recruited over to Merrill Lynch, spent another 13 years or whatever at Merrill Lynch, left Merrill Lynch, started my own company, and my company is connected to Cambridge Investment Research. It's a completely independent company, and we were able to give clients the advice and care that they need without necessarily all of the strings that come attached to being with some of the bigger firms.
Thank you.
So that's the winding, long and winding road to how I got to where I am. Again, the book chose me. I didn't necessarily choose the book, but I found that there were absolutely terrific parts of my life and calling that just meshed by being true to who I am and being focused on clients.
Well, I think some of the best success stories come from those long, windy roads. Speaking of success, Paul, what do you consider to be success?
You know, there was a missionary many years ago, John G. Lake, you may have heard of John G. Lake. He actually had a church over in Spokane where they had over 100,000 documented healings back near the beginning of the 19th century or 20th century. Anyway, one of the things that he said that really stuck with me is that everybody's life has a particular theme, kind of like theme music in a movie. Right?
Uh-huh. Right.
And the closer we get to that tune, the closer we get to that theme, we really develop and blossom in who we really are. And that's always stuck with me, is that the closer that we can be who we were designed to be, who we were created to be, and who we really are, there's health, there's enjoyment, there's production, there's fruit. And that's what I really try and help people develop, see, and nourish. That's what I think is the most important thing in this life.
Wonderful. You mentioned music and themes in a movie, and I think that's interesting because one of the things that I do, each year I choose a theme for the year, and I choose a theme that I want to represent what my year is going to be like. And so, and then each year I choose a new one. And at the beginning of 2020, like many other people, I had these big, big goals that I was just like, yes, 2020 is going to be the year and I'm going to accomplish these amazing things. And the song I chose for this year is, it's The Champion by Carrie Underwood featuring Ludacris.
Okay.
And anyhow, and then of course, a few months into the year, we have this major pandemic. I mean, it started earlier, but we felt it a few months into the year. And then that's when things really started to change for a lot of people. And at that time, I felt like a lot of other people, like, oh, there goes my dreams. There goes my goals. Now, as I look back over the last months, I continued to keep going. I continued to not necessarily accomplish the goals that I had set at the beginning of the year, but I did accomplish other goals that are just as wonderful. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that really was an appropriate theme song for this year.
It is. It is. You can't be a champion if you don't overcome something.
Absolutely true. Absolutely. Right? So, and in regards to overcoming something, you were talking about, or you had mentioned this major change that you went through at a young age in being honorably discharged from the Army, doing something that you really were passionate about doing and essentially having that pulled away from you. And you talked about the discombobulation that you felt through that experience. Well, we've had, I don't know of anybody who hasn't felt that this year, mm-hmm. as we've been hit with this pandemic. And I imagine within the financial services industry, you've seen a lot of that. Because when a big change in the economy happens, people end up panicking over their money and their investments. So what kind of tips or advice can you share that will help people as they go through these interesting or challenging times?
Yeah. You know, what kind of tips and advice? Well, I think there's a difference between tips and advice, right? So a tip is, to me, if let's say your shoe's not feeling well, you're wearing a shoe and there's a feeling in your shoe. A tip would be something where you go to a Walgreens, Rite Aid, or some convenience store and you get something that you can put in your shoe to ease the pain, right? Advice would be maybe you need a new shoe.
Right.
Right, or have your foot looked at. So for our practice, because we do focus on redefining equity, because we do focus on how close are you to the real theme of who you are and what you're about with planning, advice, and coaching. The pandemic or the environment that we're in has allowed us to focus and have those clients focus on those things as well, right? A person doesn't have any control over what Microsoft stock would do or XYZ stock would do, right? I mentioned Microsoft because we're in the Pacific Northwest, right? But we have no control over that. We do have control over other areas of our lives. And so sometimes when you have these types of challenges, it makes it easier to keep the main thing the main thing, if that's part of your credo to begin with. And that's our credo. That's my credo here at Ellis Wealth Management. It would be more difficult if the firm was only about arbitrage, only about performance, only about where's the next big thing comes from. That would make things a little more difficult, environments like this. And those types of companies have to try and switch the rails, if you know what I mean. They have to change direction and change their ethos, if you will. It doesn't change our ethos. We just focus on what we focus on, and we focus on it that much more.
Okay. Can you give us an example when you say that you focus on what you focus on, or you keep the main thing the main thing?
Okay. So when we talk about redefining equity, right, we look at investments as they are tools. They are tools to help you with your life. They're tools to help you with your family, your community, those things that you may care about, not just now, but with a legacy, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have environments where markets are extremely choppy, it's a perfect time to review what is it that you're about. Are these areas the same things that you say that you're interested in, right? Uh-huh. For some people, education is a goal. During this lockdown, it could be an opportunity for someone to use some of the assets that they have to take some online courses that they would not normally have the time to take. They have an opportunity to enrich their life. They have an opportunity to deploy those assets as a tool to help them, you know, grow and achieve what they would not maybe have achieved in an environment that is quite challenging for other people. We still look at performance. Don't get me wrong. I mean, our investment strategies it's for the real world, what's really happening in real time. Mm-hmm. Our performance is good. I just don't lead with performance. I just don't lead with the markets, because at the end of the day, what is really going to matter is who you are and what you're about, and have you been able to fulfill your potential? Let me give you another example, if I may.
Sure. Go ahead.
Many of our family members, if we go back one or two generations, may not have graduated from university. Mm-hmm. Would you think that would be fair?
Would it be fair? Well,
I mean, would that be a fair statement to make?
Oh, okay. Oh, in general.
Yes.
I'm talking about society. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So if we talk about our grandparents, our grandparents, many of them may not have graduated from the university. Many of them may not have graduated from high school. They may have had to leave high school early. Mm-hmm. Some at the eighth grade, some at the seventh grade, some at the, you know, maybe younger. But when we think about our grandparents and what they achieved, we feel honor to have been their prodigy. We honor them for the things that they've done. We stand in awe of the greatest generation and the things that they accomplished.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. What dollar amount was that? Not much.
No.
Right? And if we go back and we look at the homes that they were raised in, or the first homes that they purchased, or the homes that they raised our parents in, generally speaking, those aren't homes like Gone with the Wind. Mm-hmm. They can be very modest or humble homes.
Right.
So the legacy that they provided to us and the way that they paved for us wasn't necessarily with a huge nest egg, generally mm-hmm. speaking, right?
Right.
That's a very powerful legacy. Now, the question is to our listeners, or to your listeners, what kind of legacy do they want to leave?
That's an excellent question. Great point. What kind of legacy do you want to leave?
Yes.
And does that legacy change because we're in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, no, I think, you know, if you're making wine, if people like wine, and there's different types, of course, but, you know, wine comes from a wine, grapes that are put through a wine press. This environment has been a wine press, right? You know, so, you know, who we are and what we becomes revealed through what we've had to go through. And, you know, you started the year with the song The Champion, right?
Uh-huh, right.
Well, as we round out this year and you cross the finish line, you can put your hands up and say, yes, I did that.
Yes.
I did that.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that it's all in how we manage, and we don't always manage perfectly. We don't know. There's always, you know, there's moments where we have our ups or downs, and there's times where we want to call time out and go behind the curtain and, you know, turn off the volume. But at the end of the day, who are we? What's our desire? And, you know, just moving forward. I mean, if I look at my life and I look at the challenges that I've gone through so far, and I know that there'll be many more because I plan on living a very, very, very long time, you know, what's helped me get through those challenges are prayer, mm-hmm. support from family and friends, taking one step at a time. Sometimes it's just barely what you can see and just mm-hmm. do that, right?
Right.
And then keep going because, you know, it's easy to look down. It's not so easy to look up, right? A good friend of mine, Alex Gia, may he rest in peace. He was an absolutely terrific guy. He used to say, at every level, there's a new devil, right? You know, and, you know, and it's true. And, you know, there's new challenges. But then, mm-hmm. you know, I pair that with, you know, a scene in the books of Narnia at the end. There's a new world, but it's further up and further in. And each new world is more joyful and more powerful and more exciting than the last. So you have to deal with your challenges and your devils or dragons, if you will, and, you know, look forward to what's in front of you and just keep going. So prayer, support, and one step at a time.
Absolutely. That sounds very much like my credo. And whenever I face a really difficult challenge, I say to myself, wow, there is something incredible coming just around the corner, because I know that anytime there's something amazing, there's always that really big roadblock that mm-hmm. gets in my way and wants to stop me. So mm-hmm. I get excited about those challenges.
Well, it's the dragon that guards the gold, right?
Right.
So, you know, I was going through a tough spot a couple years ago, and it was, you know, pretty difficult. I decided, you know what? I'm just going to be a dragon slayer, right? I'm just going to be right. just be known as the dragon slayer, right? Mm-hmm. And that was rewarding. That was rewarding.
That's a great visual. I can see you dressed in armor with your sword.
Yeah.
And visualization is powerful, right? When we can put ourselves in that place and visualize conquering whatever that is and however we're going to do it, but we just visualize that. That gives us strength, doesn't it?
It does. I think it's really important. I've always been blessed with a very active imagination. Sometimes that worked well for me. Sometimes in grade school, not so much. but I think it's really important to be able to visualize, you know, the outcome that you want, project yourself in different scenarios. And when we have that imagination, one of the things that it does is it removes this fear,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And fear is what's paralyzing. When you're imagining yourself doing something, generally speaking, you don't have that element of fear or dread, even if you're overcoming some challenge, right? It doesn't have that. It doesn't have that injected into it. And so I think it's important, not that feelings are important. They are. They really are important. But what's more important is doing the right things the right way so that we can get the results that we're desiring.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Love that. I love what you said about when we visualize, we don't have that element of fear or dread. And I actually have never thought of it that way. And, but as I'm listening to you, I realize that there, that is so true. That is so true. When I visualize, I can take myself out of the real world, if you will, and take myself out of whatever it is that's going on in my life. And I get to just dream and get that feeling of joy. And you're right, there is no fear or dread there.
There's a terrific book that I read this year called The Bottom of the Pool. It's by Andy Andrews, The Bottom of the Pool. And one of the things that he mentions in that book is that fear is imagination working against you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have a creative imagination that works for us.
Yes.
Right? So I think it's really important to work on, and I'm not talking about anything mystical or occultish or anything along those lines. I'm just saying being able to see what it is that you'd like to do and imagine you working your way through them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without the element of fear.
Yes, love it. So for you, how has that practice helped you get through? I mean, I know you talked about you get through these your challenges through prayer and support and taking it one step at a time. In regards to imagination, though, how have you utilized that aspect and to get through what you've gone through? Like, was that part of your experience when you left the Army? How did you overcome that feeling and move on to the rest of the amazing stuff that you've created for yourself?
Well, you know, I was 21 at the time. So, you know, we don't know what we don't know, right? And a lot of my friends say that I have a lot of Paulisms. That is definitely the one that's high on the rotation list. We don't know what we don't know. But over the course of time, you know, we add to our quiver. We learn what works and what doesn't work for us, mm-hmm. right? So sometimes we come across these things or these techniques or these understandings not overnight, not in a vision, but just over time, saying, you know, when I've done this, this works. When I mm-hmm. do that, it doesn't work. Steve Jobs once, you know, somebody once said to Steve Jobs, hey, you know, it. When I do this, this happens, and I don't like it. And his response was, well, stop doing that.
Right?
And so, you know, some of these things are just have been accumulated over time, and you find out later that they actually, you know, there's entire studies on that. But I came across that just by, you know, the practice and use and real world applications.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. And I was thinking about my recent experience. One of my accomplishments this year is I wrote a book, and I wrote the first draft manuscript in about 4 weeks. And from beginning to end, publishing, that'll be about a 2-month process. And people ask me, well, how did you do that?
I asked you that.
You did ask me that, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Right. And I stopped for a moment to think about that because, I mean, really, it was just this decision that I made. I set my mind to it, and I knew I was going to do it because I made the decision I was going to do that. So I had to stop and think about that for a moment. And I realized, you know, it wasn't that I wrote this book in 4 weeks or in what you said. It wasn't like I wrote it overnight. But it's something that I have really been working on for years. Over time, the book is really about knowledge and experience that I've gained over time that in 4 weeks, I was able to put down on paper in words.
Yes.
So
Yes.
That I like what you were saying. I don't think there is anything that we do that just suddenly happened, but it's all a culmination of what we've been doing, what we've been learning, what our experiences are, right?
Absolutely. And that goes for the pleasant things and the not pleasant things, right?
Right.
You know, sometimes the unpleasant things that happen didn't just happen, right? Mm-hmm. Neglect in areas over a long period of time.
Right.
Will cause the sandcastle to, shift dramatically. So, you know, it's always good to be focused on the things that we should be doing, and even a little bit here and there pays big dividends. But I'm absolutely I would say joyfully surprised that you finished your book, and amazed that you were able to put it together in 4 weeks.
Thank you.
That is excellent. That is excellent. What's the name of your book going to be, or is it?
It is. It's Beyond Breaking Even, Your Toolbox to Building Exponential Results. And it is available for pre-order right now at beyondbreakingeven.com. And it will officially launch and begin shipping on October 30th.
Excellent. Beyond Breaking
Even.
Even.com. And that's going to be available when?
It's available for pre-order now.
Pre-order now. Terrific. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to pre-order now, and I would strongly suggest that everyone else that's listening pre-order as well.
Well, thank you for that plug. I love that. Here I am interviewing you and showcasing you, and you just feed it right back to me. I love it. But that's the kind of person that you are. You are a very compassionate person and very involved in your community in many different ways. And speaking of that, one of the things that really stood out to me as I've gotten to know you and more about you is the fact that you volunteer and serve as a co-chair of the University of Washington Foster School of Business Center for Entrepreneurship and Business Development. And I love that because I thought, wow, how did he do that?
Well, so I am not co-chair now. I have been co-chair in the past. So I'm not co-chair now, but I am a member of that committee. And it's a terrific organization head up by Michael Verschow, the Foster School of Business. And what they have, it grew out of a work by Dr. Spratlin at the University of Washington, where they were focusing on minority-owned businesses and how to help minority-owned businesses with the understanding that what changes communities is business.
Yes.
What changes a community is not a program.
Mm-hmm.
What changes business communities is a vibrant economy through entrepreneurialism and growth in creativity and responsibility. And that's what business owners do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had been involved with the Friends of the Equal Opportunity Educational Program at the University of Washington, also known as FEOP. And through my work there, I met Michael Verschow, and he asked me to join his board. And I've been working with Michael and the rest of that board for, oh gosh, I will just make it easy and say well over, 10, 15 years, and they do terrific, terrific work. Every year at the end of the year, they have the Minority Business Awards, where they mm-hmm. highlight some of the top minority business owned businesses in the state. From that work, they have also branched off to work with and to help seed like organizations or like groups at a number of other different universities around the United States. So terrific job. Again, the main thing, keeping the main thing, is that if we want to help our communities, it's through assisting business and business owners.
I love that. That's excellent. And what a great way to wrap up today with sharing that piece of information, as the majority of our listeners are business owners. And I feel like having that, or if as a business owner, you didn't take anything else away from this show, which I can't imagine you wouldn't, but at least that message that through business, we change communities. That's very profound. And I think especially as we're going through all that we're going through right now, and so many businesses have struggled and many businesses have closed. But as a business owner, to remember that you are making a difference in your community and you are a part of the change that we need to see is a very profound takeaway. Thank you so much for sharing that, Paul.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me today. Let me, if I may, I just want to share one quick thing, if I may. The importance of being a business owner, not only are you helping your community, you know, you're helping your community, right? But mm-hmm. the American dream isn't just having a house. Mm-hmm. It's freedom. It's liberty, right? It's the pursuit of happiness, right? And the ability to be able to carve your path, and maybe it's sometimes it's in a solo fashion, doing it by yourself. Sometimes it's with others, right? But you know, we hear a lot today about jobs, that the economy needs jobs, and our students, our children are taught, you know, you need to go to school so that you can get a good job. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to go to school so they have a good education. And with mm-hmm. that education, you have choices. Right. One of those choices is to be an employee. Mm-hmm. But another choice that is very rarely talked about or very rarely encouraged is that you have a light within you. Why not shine that light? You've got a theme. Why not play that theme? All right, you have seeds inside you. Why not plant those seeds and see what a terrific garden or orchard you can leave in your legacy? That's business ownership.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. Paul, it is always a pleasure to speak with you. It has definitely been a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for sharing with us so many wonderful tidbits and so much great inspiration.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at Catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.